This is the voice of truth. The voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on the subject, the family altar or family worship. That's the family altar or family worship. And this is number 185 in this series.
Family worship in the present-day home is all but a thing of the past. You will still find a home here and there that is retaining the old family worship. But they are so few and far between. The old home and home life has but all but faded away in this present modern-day living. The home is the first God-given institution the world ever knew. It is the basis or foundation of society, the church, the state, and the nation. Destroy the home, and you have destroyed all other institutions. This is what Satan has done, and that's the reason the church and the nation are both on the toboggan slide to hell. Our homes as a whole are gone. Now, there's no ifs and ands about that. That's so. You find one home here and one there that's a bedrock that cannot be moved against all the onslaughter of hell, but they're few and far between. Let's first look at the first home and see what we mean by family worship. This present generation knows nothing about family worship. So much so until when you speak of a family altar in the home, they think of some kind of shrine or a man-made altar of some type where you come to kneel down in worship or to say your prayers. That is not what we're talking about. When we speak of the family altar, we speak of family worship where the husband or wife or both call the family together and the Bible is read. That is a portion of it. And then they kneel for prayer. The Father leads in the prayer and asks the blessings of a covenant God upon every member of the family. Such family worship is so foreign to the average home today until it is counted out of date, a thing of the past, something we've outgrown. It is usually laughed at, made fun of, and fathers who lead their families in worship today are thought of as old backwoods somebody, or as someone who is being religious. I wish we could return back to those days and thank God many families are, in spite of all the fun-making and laughter and ridicule of a hell-going age, to the old family altar where men and women reverence God and look upon the Bible as God's inspired word. My friends, unless we do, we're goners. I think one of the most beautiful pictures is to behold is to see a young couple when they leave the marriage altar and cross the threshold of their little home, establish their family worship. Yes, to see that young husband say to his wife, "Darling, we are going to begin our home right. Here is God's word. We are going to read some portion in it every day as far as possible. And we're going to kneel together and offer up our prayers to the God of heaven who has brought us together. We will build our home and live around the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer." How few think of building their homes in such a manner. And right here, let me ask you a question. Do you have a prayer room in your home? You have provided for everything else in your home, haven't you? Do you have a prayer room in your home? Do you? Let me ask you a question. Do you have family worship in your home? Listen, Father, as you sit there before your radio, do you have a family altar or do you have family worship in your home? Have your wife and children ever seen you kneel or sit there around the table and pour out your heart to God in their behalf? If not, why not? Satan sure has pulled a dirty trick on us, hasn't he? He has made the average man think that family worship is below his dignity and made the average man feel that he is a sissy, and thereby has wrecked the home life and has destroyed the average home today. So many homes today, instead of having an altar of worship in the home, have a bar for drinking and lustfulness of the flesh. Now let's notice briefly the first home back there in the Garden of Eden. That home was blessed with the presence of Jehovah Jesus. He visited that home daily, and they had communion together. He, Adam, and Eve, they worshiped him. He was their God. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they were driven from the Garden of Eden, we are told that when they repented and came to admit their sin and their rebellion and fell at the feet of Jehovah God crying for mercy, they were forgiven. And then Jehovah killed animals, shed the blood, took the skins of those animals, and made coats out of them and clothed the bodies of Adam and Eve, because the glory of God that once clothed their bodies were gone now. He reestablished this home on blood redemption. And on the basis of that shed blood, they had continual fellowship with Jehovah God. They came to the altar and worshiped, bringing their sacrifice. And this home was reestablished on blood redemption and the Word of God. They had the spoken word, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. They had the altar. They had the sacrifice. Let me ask you this question, my friend. Has your home ever been established on blood redemption and the Word of God? That's the only foundation on which you can establish your home. Father, have you ever been awakened to the fact of your lost condition? Have you ever been brought down to the dust from which you came? Have you ever been made to feel your nothingness and see yourself as a worm of the dust, vile, wretched, and been washed in the blood and made a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord? In other words, have you come to Christ taking all the blame with all rebellion broken? Have you been made to see yourself lost, undone, a fit subject for hell, and been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, and been clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Brother, that's grace. That's the way of grace. Then have you sat at the feet of Christ and been taught of Him? Then, my man, have you taken your place in your home as the head of your family? If so, have you established or set up your family worship? One of the first things that happens when a person gets saved is he wants to see his loved ones saved. And one of the best ways I know of is for you to gather your family together in a daily period of worship. You may say, but I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord. All right, let's start your family worship anyway. I think one of the best ways for you to get saved is to begin your family worship. And there before your family, ask God to save you. It will help break your rebellious will and your pride and bring you low in the dust of repentance. I'm pleading for your home, my man. It is awful for you to go to hell, but it's more awful for you to go to hell and carry your family with you. You might say, well, I don't care. That's the attitude of the average individual. But if I'm speaking to some man this morning, even just one, and you said, I want to be saved, you open your family worship today. You start reading the scriptures. You said, where should I begin? Well, start with the Gospel of John and read some portion, not long, but some portion. Bow your head there with your family and cry unto God for yourself and then for them. Listen. Listen, as I dictated this message, word came to my ears of a young man who attempted suicide. This would never have been if he had established his family altar and let the Holy Spirit break him down and bring him to Christ. But he began drinking, having been urged on by others who said to them, you are not a man unless you can drink. What a trick of Satan. Then he started running around after other men's wives, neglecting his own home. Finally, his wife had to leave him, returning back to his home with no wife, no child, nothing to stare at but the bleak walls of an empty house. No God, no hope, nothing to live for. Suicide was the only thing left. My friend, I would not swap the little home God's given me for the world's weight in gold. And what God has done for me and my home, He can do for you and your home if you let Him, if you want Him to do it. If God can save me and save members of my family, then God can save you and save your family. Let's give Him a chance, will you, man? I'm pleading with you. Let's salvage our home, will you? Now let's notice some of the blessings of the family altar. One of the first blessings of the family altar and family worship is the recognition of Christ as head of your home. You see, the order of government in the home is Christ is the head of man. Man's the head of the woman. Parents are head of the children. When you recognize Christ as the head of your home, then you're going to bring your problems to Him. And you can rest assured of one thing. He'll solve every one of them. It matters not how dark the day may be or how long the night may be. Adversities may come. Death will come. But Christ is the head. And you can rest assured that He'll do all things well. Then another blessing of the family worship in the home is that it binds the family together. You may have noticed the slogan in the past years, the family that prays together stays together. We could say that the family that prays together will live together. There's one thing that I have noticed. You cannot be a sincere worshiper before the throne of God's grace and then stay mad at each other or in rebellion with each other. It won't be long until you'll be confessing your sins, taking the blame, and asking God to forgive you. So one of the best ways to live together today is to pray together. I'll tell you something else. You cannot be sincere and honest in your prayer life and dishonest in your public life. You cannot consistently gather your family together, man, and read and pray with them, and then live the hypocrite before them. One of the two will have to go, prayer or hypocrisy. Another blessing of the family altar is the lasting influence that family worship has on the different members of the family. This is sometimes the child never gets over or ever gets away from. You gather those children together in family worship day in and day out, week in and week out, and let them grow up under the influence of Bible reading and daily prayer. And then when it grows up, all the powers of darkness cannot break the influence upon the heart and life of that child. Let me tell you, Father, you owe it your children to safeguard them, to build such a bulwark around them that as they go forth to battle with the forces of this world, they'll not be so easily overcome. They may not all be one to Christ right there around the family altar, but the impressions left upon them may be used of the Holy Spirit to bring them to Christ years later. They'll never get away from the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, their Savior and Lord. Train up a child in the way that it should go when it is young, and when it grows older, it will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:16. You have the promise of God's Word back of that. I remember reading a story one day about two men who were brothers. Their father had died. Their mother had passed on to her reward. The old home place had been divided. One day they came to wreck the old homestead house where they were brought up as boys. They began with the roof and finally cleared everything, even to the old chimney had been thrown down. Now they came to tear up the floor. They pulled up plank after plank until they came to the old fireplace. And Jim put his crowbar under the plank on one side of the old fireplace and started to prise it up. Then he took it out and said to his brother, John, you tear that plank up. John looked at Jim and said, no, Jim, you tear it up. And they both broke down and began to cry. They both pulled their hats off their heads. Both knelt down there and began to cry for mercy. What had happened? They'd come to the place
by the old hearthside, where the old father knelt for years in family prayer after reading God's word and prayed for them. He had died and gone on to heaven. They had not been saved during his lifetime. But as they came to tear up that plank, it was a sacred spot to them. Again they saw their old gray-haired father kneeling there. Again they had heard his voice pleading for them. The Holy Spirit had recalled his words, impressed their souls, and at last their father's prayers were answered. One day, God's going to answer my prayers in saving the rest of my children. The children brought up around the family altar, around the old hearthside, will never get away from it. Brethren, our modern-day home has lost something, hasn't it? There's just something missing in the present-day home. Let me plead with you from the very depths of my soul. Let's stop. Let's turn the wheels of time backward. No, we can't, can we? But let's start right now. We have lost too much already, haven't we? You might say, well, I've waited too long. No, you haven't, man. Let's start now. Let's bow your head right there where you are. Ask God to help you to be a man, to be the father of your home. Let's put back into the home what God put in the first home. Ask Christ to come in and take over. Yes, the blessings of the family worship cannot be enumerated. There are two things that I remember about my old grandfather's home. When as a child I used to spend Saturday nights with him. One was the family worship, and the other was his stories of the wild woods and his hunting days. Now let's study and notice some of the obstacles that we encounter today that make it hard to have family worship in the average home. First, let's look at the religious home. I mean the church-going home. Now you hold your seat, will you? We're going to jump a creek right here. You would think, surely, here's a home where you'll find family worship. But there are so few homes of our church folks who have family worship. And the question arises, why? One reason is our churches are so organized to death until much of their time at night is taken up in church activities. I was talking to the man one day and he said, you know, I'm getting so tired of church life. When I asked him why, he said, well, you know, Monday night is deacon's meeting night. And as a deacon, I feel honor bound to go. Tuesday night is finance committee meeting night. And I'm on the finance committee. Then Wednesday night is prayer meeting night. Thursday night, I've got to meet a Sunday school committee meeting. And Friday night is choir practice. Saturday night, I've got to keep my business open late. So you see, all my time is taken up. Now, here's a home that is absolutely disrupted. No chance for family worship because of church activities. In thousands and thousands of homes, the present-day church activities have become a curse. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something, mother. You cancel the vast majority of your church activities. Stay at home with your family at night. It's worth far more to you, to your family, and to your God than all your church activities put together. The average church is organized to death. Friends, you find time for your family worship. Make time for your family worship. You're not going to have those children with you always. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. I mean this for the families of the First Baptist Church Algiers. Not for one moment would I want you to let one church activity interfere with your family worship and your home life. Do you know that one of the obstacles that God called preacher faces, being away from home so much, is that very thing. Oh, for a God-called preacher's wife who will take over the family worship. Now, on the other hand, our present-day social life, with all of its organizations, is killing our homes, has but destroyed our family altars. So many feel honor bound to go to this social meeting, or to that social meeting, or to this club, or to that club, until two or three nights out of the week, or even more, have been taken up. Your time is consumed. Your home vacated. Your children left alone. No quietness at home. no family worship, no Bible reading. And not only has it destroyed your family worship, but your private devotion, your personal prayer life, and your daily Bible reading has been choked out, and you're starving your soul to death. You may say, Brother Shelley, what can I do? I wish I could wave a red flag of warning in your face and cry, Brother, Sister, stop. Let the rebellious world and the social world go on to hell if it wants to. But you stop. Your home is worth more than everything else combined. Well, I just can't give up this club meeting. You know, I've got to go to this fraternal order, or I've got to meet this committee. And your children go to hell? You've got to make a choice. You may call me crazy. You may call me an old fool if you want to. You may call me a throwback, but I know what I'm talking about. All your church activities, all your social activities will not compensate for the loss of your child or the disruption of your home life. If every one of my folks today who are listening to me would build their home, build it firmly, build it safely, the church will take care of itself. I'll see you on Sunday mornings with your family in their places of worship. The church will move on. Souls will be won to Christ without all this monkey business of a merry-go-round of religious activities. Build your home around Christ, and all these social gatherings will take care of themselves, and your life will be worth living. But lose your home. You've lost everything. May the Lord carry these words home to your heart, my friend. Another obstacle is the way of building our family. Altars is our industrial life. That is the ungodly hours which our folks have to work. God never intended for our industrial life to be as complicated and ungodly as it is today. In the face of these difficulties, my man, my woman, I'm not unmindful of them. Let's build our family worship in spite of them. But one of the greatest obstacles in the way of family worship is just pure, hard, down neglect, carelessness, indifference. It is just so easy to put it off. It's easier to let the day slip by without it. You don't have to burn a house down to wreck it and destroy it. Just neglect it. It'll go to ruin. Just neglect your family worship. It'll soon decay. And you'll forget you ever had a family altar or ever thought about establishing one. Let me mention one more obstacle in the way of establishing a family altar. And it's this. Just your hard down cussedness. You don't want a family altar. You love your sin. And prayer and sin do not go together. You do not care what becomes of your children. Just so your own old lustful flesh is satisfied and you can have your own way. If there's any family worship, your wife has to gather the children together, sometimes over your veto. In the early days of my ministry, I knew of a home in which there was a large group of children. Every night the mother would gather those children around her knees and read to them, and she'd pray with them and for them. The husband and father were so mean and cussing until he would come stomping through the house cussing while she was praying with these children. But she never let up. She kept on. She saved her family. And finally he was brought down to acknowledge his mistake and turn to Christ. All may not do that. Man, you have no right to treat your family like that. God gave you your family. You have no right in the world to live in such a cussed manner and deny your children and wife family worship. Let's close with this question. How can I have a family altar? How can I have family worship? First, make up your mind that you're going to have one, come hell or high water. Now, that's the first thing to do. Make up your mind. You know, when that's made up, that's 90% one. I'm going to have family worship, come hell or high water. Second, set a time for it. It may be at the close of the meal. Many, many people over the nation, they have their family worship at every meal. Following their meal, they read the scriptures and have prayer. That's a wonderful time if you'll carry it out. That's the way we do ours every night after supper. We read the scriptures, discuss them, and have prayer together. And third, do it. Let nothing interfere with it. Don't kill your family worship by letting visitors interfere with it. Somebody come in there and that's visiting, and you may think they're going to make fun of you, or you may think they not won't. Well, you just count you kind of sissy. Don't let the visitors interfere with you. Don't kill your family worship by making it too long. Don't kill your family worship by trying to read too lengthy a portion of Scripture. Don't do that. God will lead you if you'll let Him. Oh God, whose favorable eye the sin-sick soul revives, holy and heavenly is the joy Thy shining presence gives. Not such as hypocrites suppose, who with a graceless heart taste not of Thee, but drink a dose prepared by Satan's art. Intoxicated joys of theirs, who while they boast their light and seem to soar above the stars, are plunging into night. Lulled in a soft and fatal sleep, they sin and yet rejoice. Were they indeed the Savior's sheep, would they not hear His voice? 'Tis joy now, my all in all, at Thy dear feet to lie. Thou wilt not let me lower fall, and none can fly or fly. Praise the Lord, He is so precious. The Lord is so precious. The Word of God is so precious. Man, establish your family worship today. Will you do it?
This brings to the close another broadcast. We want to thank you for your letters and gifts that keep these messages going out over the Voice of Truth program each week. Again, the title of the message was The Family Altar or Family Worship. And this is number 185 in this series. And you folks may have a free printed copy simply by sitting down and requesting it. All of the message preached on the Voice of Truth program by Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. are available on cassette tape for $3 each. The cassette tape includes the full hour of the broadcast, the choir singing these gracious old songs that you hear, and also the letter reading, and they sell for $3 each on 1 hour cassette tape. Also, I'd like to mention the book of the month. This will be our last time to announce this book. It's The Marriage Ring by John Angell James. He's the author of The Anxious Inquirer. Many of you have that little book, and we've advertised it here before. But he's a gracious writer. And this book sets forth the spiritual guidelines for choosing the right mate. And in marriage, we need so much of that today, don't we? We need godly instruction, don't we? Oh, listen, many women have asked me for specifics on how they should live before their unsaved husband. You'll find all of this in this little book. It's $2.60 postpaid. That's The Marriage Ring by John Angell James, and this offer is good through December 31. Also, I'd like to mention that this time we here at the Voice of Truth broadcast, we're going through some trying times with the finance. Would you ask the Lord to lay it on your heart to help us? Send us a special offering, if you could, for the radio broadcast. Yes, we hardly ever mention money on this broadcast, but the Lord laid on my heart to lay it on your heart. Just ask the Lord to lay on your heart what He would have you to do. We appreciate the opportunity to bring you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message. And I'm asking you folks to continue to pray for us. Write us and let us know if these messages mean anything to you. If you would, include the call letters of the station to which you're listening. Let us know that you're listening out there, wherever you are. Our mailing address, again, is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pandora saying, it was good to bring you this message, and may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.